And then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And here, Riley.
Jeff
Bertolai.
Jeff is not here.
I don't know if he's officially a member.
No. No, but there should.
I guess keep a little light on it. It's recording.
Blanking, so I'll have to look it up. There's 7 on the committee, not 8? Okay, then that covers it. Yeah. Just Stan Rehan and Whiteley. Thank you, Stan.
That way we don't have so many typos.
That's right. I remember that now.
We can talk a little bit about the timeline. So I'm assuming and hoping that we'll be able to finalize the process today, finalize the documents, even though it seems like there's a lot of changes. It's not that mm-hmm. many. Mm-hmm. And that we'll get the final documents to that you guys want to forward today to the council on our first meeting in November. And then, so that kind of puts everything back a couple of weeks. So what about having, if we have the applications due at the end of December, and that gives people lots of time between now and then, between the 1st of November, with holidays and things in consideration, having the applications due. We can even do it into early January, depending on when you guys want to meet again.
And when do the applications open?
As soon as the council approves.
Oh, that's right. It's a little floating because the council has to take an action, and then the applications are open,
right.
Guessing in the couple of weeks.
In the first, our first...
Early November.
Our first timeline we have, let me get to it here. Did I save it anywhere? I think I did.
Deadlines have a way of slipping.
Yeah, I mean, in our current piece right here, it says that the deadline for applications is December 2nd. Mm-hmm. But I think we probably should wait. We should probably give them, if we're going to do it, if we're going to approve it at the beginning of November, we should just give them the whole month of November, December, because of holidays and Thanksgivings and Christmas and all that kind of stuff. Give them until the end of December to have their applications in.
I want to comment on that, because as a small company, I know that when you hit the holidays, interesting things happen. Either if you give them the end of December, then people are working over the holidays to meet that, because they just do that.
Right.
Or if you make it prior to the holidays, which is a little better, then we just got to make sure that we're not busy working then. We just give ourselves a little gap, everybody a gap. But we, out of fairness to people, putting it right after Christmas could make people want to work over that time.
That's sometimes you see January 4th and January 5th as a way of coping with
as long
that.
As,
and I'm wondering, would that provide
a solution? What's the first Friday in January?
How about looking at it from the, from my point of view, what time do we want to bring it before the council? And if you look at our calendar,
a recommendation,
yeah. Our meetings are the 2nd and the 16th. 16th is...
I think our meetings are actually the 3rd and the 17th.
Yeah, 3rd and the 17th.
Yeah.
So the 17th is probably still would be pushing it. So almost by default, you're looking at February 6th going to the council. So now, if that sounds probably reasonable, then work backwards.
If you had it
on the 6th, you would want to have your interviews and recommendations, say...
During the month
of January 16th, scheduled that week of January 16th. So then applications can be due maybe you could actually have them due, say, the 12th or 13th. Well, I'd say that the 11th or 12th, so that we can make copies and get it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've given them plenty of time, actually, because... all of November and December, so they're kind of just doing the final wrap-up in January.
Right, but what I'm saying is there's no reason why not to say on the 10th, because this group would not be dealing with it anything with it anyways.
Well, but wouldn't we be sacrificing a week that we would be able to consider the applications?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
You know, I mean, it's in our interest as a group to have the maximum amount of time, as well as the applicants to have the maximum amount.
Review them on an individual basis.
Well, we would just have time to you know, consider, plenty of time to consider the applicants.
Well, our timeline, our original time frame was December 2nd is when they were.
Yeah.
So we're only 2 weeks from that. So if we go, as John is recommending, we went from December 2nd to December 16th. To have them be due.
I think that would work.
And then that would give...
The applicants still have 6 weeks to do their work.
6 weeks. Yeah. And then you have staff time.
6 or 7 weeks.
And we'll have to meet, review, do pre-review of their... If people ask for a preliminary look,
you'll have to do that sometime in November.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. In early part of November, because the original idea was you would do that, you know, within a week of having the applications out or a couple weeks out so that they could find out if they qualify or not.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have that 2 week window where we do take action.
Yeah, you had submit the question by October 28th, so you could just say submit the question by, that's not right. Yeah, that would be right. So we just say submit the question by November.
Sometime in November.
Yeah, the middle of November.
I mean, I've heard from a couple groups already. They're hoping it'll be early January.
Margaret, the whole packet.
So the groups don't think they can do it in 6 or 7 weeks?
Right.
Okay.
Well, these are not small projects, right?
Yeah.
These are
they're complicated.
Keep the whole packet.
Don't
the whole
it
packet.
Out.
There should be four things.
Oh, this was all mine.
Yes. And then here's another one.
There's one else.
Wow.
The whole packet. Keep the whole thing. Okay.
And one more.
And there's one more for Anne.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's finish haggling out the schedule then.
Well, what's going to happen if you give them these 2 extra weeks? If they're really going to use it, then they're going to be busy over the holidays. So, it's kind of like, is it truth?
Well, they can decide. They can decide how they want to use their time. If they know they're going to be gone for holidays, then they have to have it done ahead of time, or vice versa.
Yeah.
They can wait.
Yeah.
Do we want to have it actually be a December date, or do you want to do it in January?
I just don't know that it's a false sense of you giving an extra 3 weeks, because I mean you could do that, but then you just
People do work season. When they have work to get done. I've done things with a January deadline. It's not ideal, but
it doesn't matter to me. What is it?
Well, it sounds like it would be beneficial to give them those extra 2 or 3 weeks. What about other people, John? What about other committee?
Yeah, we have no real emergency to get this done at all.
No, I understand.
Except for that it's people, you know.
Yeah. Stan, Margaret, Anne, any preferences?
Well, realistically, we're trying to fund the projects that involve construction. You don't start construction in March anyway, in many cases, because it's difficult and it's still very wet. Mm-hmm. While I don't want to delay things too much, if we're starting to cram too much for time, it would seem to me that we could move the actual operating, going to the council back a month, put it in March, and you'd have all the time you needed. And then you wouldn't be crammed up, people wouldn't be worried about the holidays, and quite frankly, practical reality is it's probably not. 1 month, one way or another, is not going to make that much difference.
So if you had the due date, on January 6th,
and then we have January to begin considering.
If you had the due date on January 6th, then you have
told that some
January
of the projects might be shovel
ready. All the way until, there's actually 5 Mondays in January, so the first meeting in February would be the 6th of February. So you would basically have a full month that way to... the committee to review and rate and have presentations and then be able to make a recommendation for the first meeting in February.
Okay. So now you're suggesting a January grant submission deadline of January, what again?
January 6th, which is Friday at 5. I mean, the other thing
it sounds fair to me.
The other thing to realize and understand is that the city staff, you know, I don't know what the city staff's schedule is, but they have to provide, you know, get the copies and put the information together for you guys and everything. So
right.
It probably would be better for them to not have to do that.
In December frame.
Holiday crunch, yeah.
Yes.
So I think
they,
you know, they're probably always running a little bit shorthanded.
Right.
People are here and there and everywhere. So
let's say that on the floor we're asking about the grant deadline being January 6th and the things before it and the things after it fit into that grant submission deadline. Any thoughts, ideas, or comments?
Yeah, I think that sounds pretty good. I think you need to give the applicants plenty of time to, you know, if they have groups they're working with or boards they're working with, for groups to meet, just like we've met all these times. So I think it sounds reasonable.
It sounds reasonable.
Well, the thought was just to stretch it out a little bit. What about adding 2 more weeks to January 20th? What does that do?
Well, what does that gain us?
It gains the people that are preparing it a little more time so they're not crunched over the holidays.
I think.
And I don't see how it hurts it either.
Well, but then again, the people that are preparing aren't, this isn't new to them.
Well, I understand that, but one of the things we were trying to do is not have the holidays one way or another impact the situation.
But
I don't see, even if they're doing it, I don't see what the problem is delaying it 2 weeks.
What's the advantage, I guess?
What do we gain by
doing
that?
Maybe
if we do push back.
How about this? You have an option. If you find people are going, whoa, wait a minute, here you get that kind of a feedback, pushback, but you could say.
I'd rather be firm.
I'd rather have
other grants, the deadline's non-negotiable.
I would say we should have a non-negotiable date, but I don't have, to me, I don't think we have a need to do it on January 6th. To me, you could move it back 2 weeks, they could have ample time in January, they're not crammed during the holidays if some of their people are gone and off and so forth, and I don't see how it interferes with making an award. It just moves it back a couple of weeks, and I don't see how that hurts anything. We don't necessarily gain, but they get a little bit more flexibility.
Okay.
Right.
So everybody agree with that input, January 20th?
That's acceptable. Other comments? Anybody? Okay. Yeah. It's all right then. Yeah. Now the date on the table is what, January what?
20th
deadline.
Deadline.
Application deadline.
Right, and so then working past that, then we had a 2-week time frame by which they could ask for you to meet and pre-qualify. They should submit a question to you by February.
I thought you got other questions.
Questions before you go on the wrong direction.
More like in November.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, do the questioning in November before November 30th.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we could basically let the month of November be your questions.
If the council approves it on this, as we releases it on the 7th. On the 7th.
Because I still think we should get
their question to you guys
final
no later than the 18th, which is the week before Thanksgiving. That's 2 weeks after the applications go out.
No, I'm sorry. This is a question for those.
This is the part where if a preliminary review only answers the questions of whether the project appears to qualify, so they could ask you if they could ask the committee if they needed a determination of qualification or not, and when do you want to have them ask that question?
Because we're still going to ask the council to approve it ASAP, because our purpose is to maximize now the applicants' time.
So
ASAP on the council.
If they have a qualification question, maybe we can say that they should ask that question by the 18th, by November 18th.
Sure.
Yes.
If they can't figure it out.
Or
15th. They need to ask a question by that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
And who are they asking the questions of?
You guys.
So we're going to have another task force meeting for those kinds of questions?
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah.
And if you look at this packet right here under the general section, it has the dates listed that we talked about. So you can say, submit the questions by November 8th and then the decision, so you can kind of follow along with it.
By November 18th.
All right.
Yeah. Where, which packet are we looking
at? The application packet. If you look at the non-striped through one, on the third page, under the general section of the application is where those dates are located that we're talking about.
That's what I'm doing.
So the grant.
So there's a question by November 18th. It's on the fourth packet. So the and so the task force can reply by.
What did we tell the applicant we would give them an answer after that? Did we say that
we had October 28th to November 4th?
So that was more like a week.
That was a week. Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got Thanksgiving in there.
Okay.
So you want to say you'll reply by the 30th of November?
That sounds
okay.
Good. Since you're giving them all the way till January anyway.
Where? Okay. Yeah. When's Thanksgiving in that timeline?
24th and 25th.
The 24th is Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So they should ask you by the 18th, and then they should. You guys are going to agree to reply to them by the 30th.
Okay.
This will allow time to complete the application by December 20th. No, January.
January 20th.
Mm-hmm. Which is the deadline. Okay.
Okay. So then January 20th gets here and we schedule our first, what would you call it, first reading? First review after the seven of us have had how long to, you know, to read them on our own.
So if what is the 20th? What day of the week?
Friday.
Okay.
So I could probably have packets available by, so you guys could pick them up on Wednesday.
Okay.
Do you guys want to pick them up and then take time to review them? Is that how you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So you get packets on the 25th of January.
Yeah.
Good news is you don't have to make copies. They're going to give you copies. Okay.
They're going to provide copies. You just have to recollate them into a file, into files for each person.
Then I could probably have them Tuesday.
Tuesday would be cool.
Mm-hmm. And then you guys will have to schedule a time when you can meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
Take
mm-hmm.
presentations in February.
Yes. Absolutely.
So we're going to meet as a group to review just sort of an overview of all the applicants and just questions that we have together as a group instead of everybody asking their own questions and wondering what this means or that means. We're all going to review it together and then go.
I think some of it is individual and some of it is together. And, you know, we were talking about our scoring idea and rating. And what happens, I mean, I think when grant review committees initially get together, a lot of it is fact-finding. And so, and since we're going to have presentations, the fact-finding would lead to the invitation to make a presentation.
Okay.
So you'd have them individually first and then have a meeting a week later.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm just trying to synthesize all of the discussion that we had about the process that we've explained to the applicant that we're going to go through. Mm-hmm. And it's not a hard and fast and set in stone process because it's kind of like every grant review committee has, you know, their own slightly different way of doing things. So, but I think it's important for us to develop along the lines that we've promised, I think, the applicants and the council that we would do it and just solidify that process a little bit and figure out how long it would take us to do this and then how long it would take us to do that and you know have that and then just proceed and do that. Mm-hmm.
So all that said, how much time are we going to allow before we let them know we've made a decision?
Now, that is something that's not in the guidelines at this point, right?
Because
mm-hmm. yeah, we shouldn't put it in the guidelines.
Right, right.
Okay. We might find it will take us longer to present it. We have a timeline that we hope to do it, but we might get bogged down.
Yeah, it's hard to hard to even, you know, estimate it. A lot of times you'll just tell the applicant in a letter that, you know, we're proceeding with our great haste, or you know, you'll help with the language.
Well,
with all due process and deliberation, and you know.
Well, we'll find something. But the idea is, we have an idea of when we want to get it done, but we shouldn't necessarily promise it if we don't really think we're going to do it. No. Giving us some flexibility is probably useful.
And we'll be not just communicating with the applicant, but with the city council.
But the applicant has an expectation. So this is one funding source, right? We made sure that this is not the only source. There's going to be multiple. So if I were to develop a project, I would say, I'm going to probably start in this time frame. I'm going to try to get my funding from these three or four different sources. And the idea is that this will all roll in within a certain period of time. So whatever, we should probably have some sense that we're going to get it done in a month or 2 months. And then somehow convey that our intention is, or something.
Yes.
So they'll know that they can do their planning, that they're not going to be ordering anything, that they can find out that their funding's in place so they can move forward.
So I think you probably can say that you would work towards making a recommendation to the council on February 20th, which is the second meeting in February.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know, if we get, it's, you know, my biggest, because this is brand new, it's unprecedented, so I have no estimate, really. We know of a few applicants. There's a handful or within 10. But we don't know how many applications we're going to get. And it might be that if there's more than expected, that hopefully that would not change our timeline and we could still do it in a month. So, you know, we could just say to the applicant, you know, that we are in the next 1 to 2 months, mm-hmm. we're hoping to have an answer for you, or that kind of thing. Saying something but not being tied down to a date, I guess.
Yeah, it's our expectation.
Our hope and our expectation.
So if you pick up the packets the week of the 24th, can we schedule a meeting the following week now for you guys to come together for the first time after that? That way you have some forward.
Yeah, I think it's probably good to have it selected and we can deal with it at the time. We can see how much more we need. Well, you know, if we realize that we can't really do anything because we have too much to go through, we can always continue it a week.
So are we talking about 7 days after we pick up our packets?
Yeah, that week I think would be best for you guys to come.
We will try to do that. And
Thursday morning, February 2nd.
Okay. There is a tentative.
That's that you guys have been always meeting on Thursday.
Yes, we have, at 10. So maybe we should do our get off the timeline and try to get on back on the pot so that we can make the best use of our time today. Is there anything more that we really have to deal with on timeline? Maybe other things can be held off. And we have an agenda before us. We had timeline that got added as zero, and now we're going to move on to number one, which is review grant application from a city attorney, and number two, review grant selection policy and procedures from city attorney, and then the final recommendation to city council with calendar. So we've done some calendar work. So part of number three we may have shortened. And I think this final recommendations to city council means that if we have a draft that we now consider a final, that we approve it as a committee. And I do have something to add to the agenda because I was given a letter and I want to hear from the group where to put it on the agenda, but we did receive a letter from Yaquinabay Economic Foundation with a request that goes to the members of this committee and the members of the city council, and I don't want to read it out loud. It's the gist of it is we respectfully encourage that half the available funds be reserved for a second round, you know, based on the ability to you know, do the... Let me just pass it around. I have copies.
Do you have copies for everybody?
I think so. I think so. I'm going to keep the original, which is signed. Now, the original is signed, so the copies aren't.
Sure, can I have the original?
Oh, the original to Nicole.
Yeah.
Distributed to the council.
And, you know, this is the last... it's not last minute. I got the letter last night, and I'm on this particular body, and, you know, I abstained from participating in that discussion and vote. But it is something that, you know, was made, you know, by another, actually, you know, economic and grant-making group. And so I thought I'd put it, because we have so much work to do today, I just thought I'd put it on the agenda at the end. I don't know how else to handle it, really. So I'm just going to add it at the end, and we'll proceed with... it doesn't affect anything that we're doing unless the council wishes to take action to change the amount of money that's going to be granted during this particular period.
My initial take is that we should leave that to the city council. It's really not something for us to make a decision on.
Okay. Let's just take it off the agenda, but people are aware of it.
Yeah, it's asking for more money later, which is conceptually maybe we will do, but do we just take the money now and say half later or whatever?
Yeah.
That's a policy.
And it's within the realm of possibility that we've been talking about all along.
Yeah, but it's really city council has to do
that.
Our opinion, one way or another.
Well, it was addressed to us, and so I just thought I'd throw it out there. And why don't we just go with our regular agenda? Which is review grant application from city attorney. And
so the two that I passed out, one is the strike-through copy, and then the other is the one with the changes accepted.
Now let's see.
So there's two copies that I passed out.
Well,
and they both say DAT on the front.
Yes.
DAT.
Well, they say draft, you just can't see it.
Oh, they say draft.
I think you need to start with this one.
Now, the one we're starting...
That's the policy.
That's the policy that apparently has...
When it says RF on the front.
Oh, it says RF, draft. Okay.
Because that's the policy that the council needs to approve.
Okay.
That sets out the rest of the process.
Now...
Actually, I think she's got it in two forms here. She's got
one
comments.
One was a strike-through.
There's one here that has a strike-through comments with the gray shade on the side.
Yeah.
It says Tourism Facilities Grant Program.
Yes. So, but the one that we are going to look at today is, this is the most final of the final, right?
If you want to know she's coming from, you can look at her the second one that has her strike-through comments.
Okay, gotcha.
This is what we actually did a little, we spent an hour the other day with her, with the attorney, going through stuff.
I understand.
So, to try to get it to a more finished product for you guys. So
now,
looking at this one is the one that she's finalized from the discussion we had the other day.
Now, because I was not sitting there with the attorney, and Jeff and Mark were, is that right? Just you?
Nicole and Jim and I.
Nicole and you and who?
Jim.
Right here.
Jim
Boulder. Oh, yeah, of course. So maybe the three of you could inform our committee as to the gist of it, the main points, whether things were substantially changed. Does that, I don't feel...
Well, this is a whole new document.
This is a whole new document.
Oh, it's just completely new from what...
It outlines the same kinds of things, so I can go through it with you right now.
Oh, okay, let's just go through the whole thing.
What this is a grant program policy for the council
to approve. Okay.
Which kind of sets out all of the whole process. We can go through it really quickly. And then she actually gave us recommendations on the application and the letters and things that you guys have been working on, which is the next couple documents. Okay.
So she
just did it in a policy format. So the purpose, talking about the purpose, which is not really any different than what we already have been talking about.
Right.
And
I understand.
Sets out the policy.
Definitions.
And then the definitions. So definitions, I don't think there's any big changes on definitions.
Okay.
Well, there's a There's one that I...
Okay, what?
Came out to be matches, any contract talks about matches here, and may include, but they've added the word...
match may include.
Commitment. If you've got several granting agencies, none of them give you a commitment. You can apply for grants, but they'll never give you a commitment. They don't get them. So I think we need to take the word commitment out.
So it's pending or potential commitments?
Pending or potential, but commitment you got to take up.
Pending or... Now, we're looking at the top of page 2. Is right. Everybody on
well,
the
same
page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a... Well, B.
And B, B and C.
B and
okay.
C, yeah.
What noun are you going to put in the placement of commitment?
We just take it out.
I would take it out.
So you're pending or potential of funding? I mean...
Well, just take out the funding. Just take of then out.
Oh, I see. Pending or potential
funding from other sources.
Yeah.
So then on...
Secured
I have to disagree with that because all of our... I suspect most of our applications are going to say they have pending or potential funding. And they have to commit it because... We're not going to give them the money till they.
Well, no, but that's after it. You've. That's the document after they've got all the commitments done. I mean, after you've got your funding, it takes quite a while to build the funds up. Then you release the funds after that is. Then you're talking about another stage after you do your agreement that is a commitment at that point.
Well, I think we're going to have. Once a applicant is selected.
This is the definition of what the match is.
Yeah, I know.
So right. So the match is what you're considering at the end.
Well, then make it clear that that's what the case. There's no timeline or time frame.
I think if you go through the rest of this, you'll see. And if it still...
Well, if I... No.
No,
it's
I'm
not
saying
clear
go
now.
Through the rest of this policy and then see if it still makes sense. Because this is only definition.
I understand, but it's not, if it's definition, if it's unclear now, it's not going to get clear later.
Well, it might.
Well, it doesn't. Definitions
well,
do
you
not
haven't read
that.
The whole document yet.
Well, let's just put a flag. Let's put a flag next to those because I don't want to. Yeah, don't want to really. I think we should go through the whole thing before we actually change any of it. So, let's go through the whole thing and then go back to the flags.
Did you
and
look
see.
Up the resolution number, Nicole?
I believe it was 3535.
3535.
Well, no, that wasn't. Sorry. That was another one I was working on. I have it right here.
We have the resolution. So say 3553. So it's going to say, number 8 will say Tourism Facility Task Force is a task force consisting of 7 members appointed
seven.
By the council via resolution number 3553. And
okay.
Then the next definitions are all. Out of the
tourism-related facilities.
Outside in the state statute, but basically it's the discussion that we've had about what fits our definition of tourism facilities.
So that's parallel from the work we've done all along, and...
better check this one, too. Then.
Number 4 says tourism-related facility means a conference center, convention center, visitor's information center, and means other improved real property that has useful life of 10 or more years. And they're... if we want to, we can cross out the word "and" because that was a discussion that we had about from a long time ago about whether it had to be both.
Right.
And their interpretation is it does not. So we can just leave the word "and" out and just have "a" means a conference center, convention center, visitor information center, which is defined up above. And we can say means other real improved property that has useful life of 10 or more years and has a substantial purpose.
Okay, then we're crossing, everyone's crossing out "and" under 4A. Everyone got that? Okay.
4A.
All right, I don't know, maybe you have to have the word "or" there instead of "and." I don't know, we can ask her about that. So that it will include things that are not, that would be considered to be tourism related, but not a convention center, a conference center, or a visitor information center.
Yeah.
But has 10 more years. I mean, it's the bricks and mortar thing that you guys want. Yeah. And then defines what a tourist is and what a visitor information center is.
Okay. Any questions or should we move on? We have a question in the audience.
Yeah.
Frank.
I just wanted to, under that arts, heritage, or culture, I just wanted to mention that the cultural trust refers to arts, heritage, and humanities.
And where are you?
Five.
Number 5.
culture being a superior term to those other three? It's just a thought, because not that you're going to get specific applications from all three of those groups, but it, it is a state-accepted definition.
Yeah.
In other words, arts, heritage, or humanities are part of the cultural umbrella.
Oh, using the word humanities.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, but since this has already been parallel to other definitions, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Okay,
I really don't.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that culture is so all-encompassing, we're actually allowing people to be more inclusive and by using culture, so I don't think it'll be a problem.
So this 4B is where that would...
No, that was under 5.
Was 5 under the definition of tourist.
Yeah, okay, but I'm going, I just going back to 4B allows for other things other than the convention center.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why we cross out the word and, maybe put or or something.
I mean,
so
I think our anticipation is that a lot of our applicants would qualify under B.
Yes, we hope so.
Yeah,
the
first because otherwise it's too narrow.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the hope.
And we did our an ordinance change to clean up all the past mess with the ordinance at our last city council meeting.
Wonderful.
So just ask whether it needs to be and or something there.
Okay, can we continue to application requirements?
Yeah, the next section really, she just took the application that you guys have written and she turned it into these items.
Good.
Saying that the council policy is to say that when you have an application, must include these things.
Okay.
And she listed all the things that are in the application.
Okay.
So,
And you know, just backstepping just a little bit, I mean, for the benefit of the five of us, to me, this is a this creates a policy so that what we're doing is not a one-time event.
Right.
It's a repeatable event.
Right. So that,
and it will always have these rules.
And that accommodates the request from YB saying, you know,
or
we're
going to
continue this on. This, once this policy is in place, it can be continued.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if the city gets a windfall somehow, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, continuing down this page... which is page 3, anything to be done since it's already been discussed? I think we're just going to hope that it's fine. And then we go to the next page, has application processing.
Right, so this is kind of, this is a little bit more nitty gritty because it's, this I think we need to look at carefully.
Why don't we go ahead and read that section?
I'll just read it out loud.
Oh, okay.
Number one, submission of an application does not ensure funding. Decisions to award grant funds will be made based on the criteria and rating schedule attached to these rules as Exhibit A. The council may elect to terminate the Tourism Facilities Grant Program and not award any grants. Number two, the Tourism Facilities Task Force will review all applications that comply with the application requirements included in these rules, qualifying applications. Tourism Facilities Task Force will then rate the qualifying applications based on the criteria and rating schedule attached to these rules as Exhibit A. All applicants who submit qualifying applications will be invited to make an oral presentation to the Tourism Facilities Task Force. Now, that's a little bit different because she asked the question we were talking the other day. We had maybe indicated that we would invite people to make presentations to you based on your first run through of scoring and discussion, and he would only have people come to you and talk to you about their project if you felt that they were going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But this just says all.
Everything. That
says all.
If there are 30 applications, we've got to have 30 interviews. That seems excessive.
Well, if they're all 30 qualify.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have that many. I mean,
you may not this time, but it's possible once this gets going.
In the future. And this can be changed, but we just, you know, it's just one of those things, I think, in order to try to keep things as open and as fair as possible this first time through, that it would be better for you to hear everyone.
I believe it would be better.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're giving somebody an advantage.
Or you've made a decision to call out a particular group before they've even had a chance to talk to you, and I think it's just going to be really tough to deal with that.
So is number 3 as worded, is it okay or should we flag it? I think it's okay even if we have to hear extra.
I mean, I don't think you're going to have more than 5 or
6.
Well, you know, it's very difficult to anticipate, and I don't want to presuppose anything. But I do think, in fairness, that the way it's written is, that qualifying word might kick some people out. So,
yeah. And I think the other thing, John, is, you know, if you're listening to presentations and you're asking them to do them in a fairly short period of time, that if the committee isn't really terribly enthralled with the project or interested, you won't be asking a lot of questions. It'll be really just a matter of giving them a chance.
10 minutes is over.
And, you know, it'll be pretty apparent which things you guys are more interested in delving into and getting more detail. And so I just think we just kind of need to do that this first time around, since it's so new.
Okay, let's, as far as I can tell, we're going to just leave the wording as is, and I won't come back to it. So did you read number 4 yet?
No, based on the application materials submitted and the applicant's oral presentation, the Tourism Facilities Task Force will forward a recommendation to the council as to which applicants should be awarded grant funds, as well as the recommended amount of grant funds to be awarded to each applicant. Applicants recommended to the council by the Tourism Facilities Task Force will be expected to make an oral presentation before the council. The council is not bound by the Tourism Facilities Task Force recommendations. The council will make its decision as to which applicants should be awarded grant funds, as well as the amount of grant funds to be awarded to each applicant, based on the criterion rating schedule attached as Exhibit A. The city may require additional information from the applicant to aid in evaluating and considering a proposed project. Applicants will be notified in writing of award of a grant or denial of an application. Written notifications will be sent by first-class mail, blah, blah, blah. So the discussion we had with the attorney over this part was, I don't know if it's back here further.
Notifications will be deemed received by the applicant 3 calendar days.
Yeah, I think, so the discussion that we had was about the criteria sheet that you guys came up with, and she didn't really have any problem with the rating system that you have.
Okay.
But the question she said was, if it's non-competitive, this is just a scenario, if it's non-competitive, so to speak, so if you ended up with 6 applications and 4 of them are viable, what you would consider viable, and you would decide to make the decision that you're going to fund all 4 of them at some level, then how do you determine whether it's viable or not if you have a rating sheet, if you're using your scoring sheet? Do you say that the scoring has to at least reach a point of 75 points in order to be viable? And then any points awarded above and beyond 75 points, just put it into the viability category?
That's a very good question.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
The question makes sense, yes.
You're not going to take the scoring sheet that you have and put a whole bunch of scores down on a sheet and say, this project scored 98 points, so they for sure get priority. Their priority score at funding this one, and then you're going to fund that way. You're going to fund all of the projects that you feel need to continue on or be viable or forward. So you have a threshold by which you then try to do the best you can through negotiations with them about funding. If the request is for $3 million, you're going to have to negotiate with them. Would you accept this much kind of thing? Like, we have these 4 or 5 projects we feel are viable, and we want to fund them each a little bit.
So the question is that once they've hit the threshold, they're all just as worthy.
What you're saying? I don't think you could do that.
Is it a popularity contest where the score of 98 gets more money and the score of 75 gets a little less?
Are you going to rank up by the scores, or are you going to move that after they reach a certain threshold, are you going to move all those projects forward?
Right.
It doesn't mean you're going to fund them all equally.
Right.
I don't think you're going to want to guarantee funding anything at any level just because it's over a certain number.
Yeah.
But the idea is to make clear to the grant, to the people who are writing the grants, that the how the scoring sheet's going to be used. I guess is her.
So she felt it needed a little more.
She didn't mind having 25 points being being
The final 25, if I remember right, of her viability was quite discretionary because it related to the budget, the mission, the past accomplishments, everything fitting together well. And you're not going to be able to compare Project A with Project B because they're all going to be too different. So we don't want them to necessarily compete with each other.
But the her question is, how are you going to use the scores? Like if you're going to use a scoring sheet, and the scoring sheet she didn't have any problem with, how are you going to use those scores? And are you going to have like kind of a threshold at which point you're going to, whether or not you need to actually discuss that with the applicants or not, or whether that's just something you can work on together?
I think with the language where the part of it where we're saying every project is going to be judged based on its individual merit, that might be the best we can do to assure them that you're a smaller project and you have this characteristics, that doesn't, you know, you're not going to be compared to with a bigger project with totally different characteristics. It might be that they're equally as worthy. I don't know how to say it. I mean,
well, you're going to have a couple of problems. First of all, there's qualitative, but there's also quantitative. Mm-hmm. We've got a certain budget of money to give away.
Yeah,
and we're only going to have each time a certain budget.
Yeah,
if you get a project that wants a great deal of it that we tend to want to support, you would probably want to give more of the money to that, and then simply you're going to exclude others possibly because you run out of money. I mean, I don't...
It happens.
The problem I'm thinking here is, say we have four we think are all great projects, but our money is our limitation. Just saying, okay, I'm going to give you a much smaller amount of what you requested doesn't necessarily help them get the project done. And that's part of the problem. You have to collect it from a lot of different sources, and every little bit helps, but it's harder to collect the mass you need if you're only going to give them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think you have two different problems here. You have qualitatively how good the project is, but you may end up having to choose between doing less just so you can give them enough money to be useful.
To make their project actually move forward.
Yeah. To me,
that's a discussion you could have with the organizations at some point if you needed to call them back in or talk to them again. It's a discussion you could have with them, saying, you know, does the project still have viability for you if we only fund you at this level?
At that point, it does become there is a bit of a negotiation, one-on-one with each thing, and would you be able to take less? And most of them will say yes. And so you just hope that you can make as many of them viable as you can. And that's where it's always going to be some judgment calls.
And as the attorney said, you know, you're giving people something. You're not taking anything away.
Exactly.
You're not reducing an amount of money that they're already getting. You're giving people something. And so it's more of a...
They're normally grateful.
It's a different kind of a process than you might think. Yeah.
So I have a thought here. So one of the other issues we're going to run into is, we see this as possibly all being spent in 1 year, but it could be multi-year. And so we may say to someone, we're not going to give you as much as you asked for, but we're going to hold back a whole bunch more because we see something else happening that didn't come in this round. For example, the city of Newport's going out hiring a consultant for economic development. They may recommend something that's very critical that didn't get submitted, and we may want to give heed to that. I don't know, just a thought.
I'd be nervous. Kind of
so we have to have
that.
Flexibility that we don't give it all out, and we still only give out a little bit. We hold it back. I don't know.
Well, those kinds of, I think, you know, what I would say to you guys as a committee is those kinds of overriding decisions need to be made by the council. Mm-hmm. You could make a recommendation, but the council needs to kind of have that decision about what they want to do, whether they want all the money to go away and or make a conscious effort to try to refund it via the grant, via budgeting next year, or what they want. And I think the nice thing about this is that one thing about trying to keep this time frame fairly short is that if we don't really know what we're going to get for grants, and and the idea that we might be able to work on the budget with the concept of what's happened with the grant funds already would be really helpful, I think.
It might be helpful if we, and I'm not going to try not to presuppose, but if projects gave us a budget project and everything related to phase one of something, then, I mean, I think the committee would feel it's okay to help them accomplish phase one, because it's a complete thing in and of itself. But then if the future is left open for that particular building or entity to have a further grant that would happen in the future. That is a possible scenario. So.
I don't know. I can't help but think when we get this big stack of applicants, which are going to be thick, to somehow do just a big picture overview as far as what the projects look like, and before you plug in the specific criteria numbers, to just see, you know, what the parameters are, like a curve back in academia where you look like, you know, this as far as the big picture goes, and then start plugging in specifics on who, you know, goes through the first qualification hoop, and then just get an overview and then start plugging in the numbers somehow. I don't know. That's just the way I'm seeing it. It's just there's going to be so much information to process here that you got to see it from a big picture and then zoom in on details.
Well, our first evaluation, I think, is the big picture, the way that you're saying. I see it that way, too.
And, you know, if there's a big problem or a big issue with it, you know, there isn't any reason why there can't be a discussion at that particular point saying, you know, gosh, we've got all these really great projects, or we have projects that are not really quite ready, or, you know, when you make a recommendation to the council, it doesn't have to be, here's the four organizations and here's how much money we need. You know, you can make a separate, you can make a recommendation based on the discussion we were just having too, saying, you know, we really feel like, you know,
here's
a couple are really ready for funding and the other things might need to ripen a little bit, you know. I mean,
well, it's fair to the applicant too to give a reasoning. At the end of the day, they would want to know what is the reason for the decision, whatever that decision is. So let's try to, and that's kind of, you know, kind of like the Supreme Court. You have the decision, and then you have the written opinion, you know, that goes with it. And I think it's very fair to everybody.
Yeah. So then the next section is about the grant agreements. So if you do make an award,
now let me make a little typo. A typo. Number seven. There's two sevens, so it should go to eight and then nine. Yeah, because they're all within that one section. So it goes from seven to eight, and then to nine.
Yeah.
Just so that we fix typos too.
So the grant agreement conditions are conditions that would. You have to write an agreement with them about the money and how that's going to be released.
Okay. And that part is a little bit beyond our committee anyway, so right. I'm going to let you guys handle it.
Yeah.
Along the line.
Is that beyond our committee?
I'd like to have page numbers on my pages.
Like this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll no, good idea.
When they're done.
Let's add it.
Some people.
So couple things like you were just talking about. The terms of the grant agreement can be tailored to fit the project for which the grant funds are awarded.
Okay. We're on the final page now. Second to last.
Second to last. Number four, they're contingent upon the availability of monies. Mm-hmm. They have to comply with all state laws, you know, state, federal laws, and blah, blah, blah. They cannot be used to refinance existing debt. The grantee is responsible for all expenses of the operating maintenance of the project. I'm trying to think where was the other key thing in there.
There's one on withholding. Oh, excuse me. That's in the distribution. That's, never mind.
Number 10, upon notice to the grantee in writing, may terminate funding of projects. Grant will obtain all required permits and licenses. 12, the city may place additional conditions in the grant agreement as necessary to carry out the purpose of the grant program, including any provisions that the city manager considers necessary to ensure the expenditures of funds for the purpose set forth in the application. And then distribution of funds. Number 6, the city shall retain 10% of the grant funds until the final project.
Now this goes 1, 2, 3, 6. Is that
I'm
correct?
I'm sorry, I'm on distribution of funds now.
I know.
Still 1, 2, 3, 6.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 6, should be 4. The city shall retain 10% of the grant funds until the final project report as required by the grant agreement. has been approved by the city, and the final reports are due within 60 days of project completion. So it's anticipating that this is letting and the organizations will have this document also when they're making their application, knowing that they're going to get 90% of the funding up front, 10% will be withheld until the project is actually completed.
Like, okay.
Completed, okay. Not groundbreaking.
So it's an incentive to complete it.
Well, you may want to do it progressively, even on the remaining 90%, not give it all 90% at the very beginning. Mm.
Yeah, and there's stipulations in there about they want, you know, you don't get, there's a distribution, must provide proof that the dollar-for-dollar required match based on the total grant fund award has been secured. So that's where the commitments,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Match. That's where the definition of match comes in, Jeff.
Okay.
This is the first time match is used again, I think. So the match is what, the definition of match is that you have actual commitments of dollars.
Oh, number two.
Number two, yeah.
Okay.
Distribution of funds.
Okay.
No, we're actually on page three.
Does it get used again?
Number five.
Page three.
It says that all applicants shall demonstrate a dollar-for-dollar match
mm-hmm.
based on the total grant fund request at the time of application.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there is a question there, isn't there?
So
I think that you maybe if you want to make a definition.
A little M and not a big M.
Yes.
I see that. So it's a different word match.
Well you're not going to, a lot of times that doesn't work. If you're going to use a word and define it specifically, you should use a totally different word if you want to mean something and not mean the same definition. Otherwise, you confuse people.
Yes.
If you're going to use the word match, it should mean only one thing.
Right. Especially if you're defining it right here.
Yes.
Based on
so usually you don't capitalize them in the text anyway, so when that's done, it's a little odd. If you have a definitional section, then every time you use one of those words that is in the definitional section, you should mean the definition. If you don't want to exactly mean that definition, then you should use that word.
Yeah, so we'll have to ask.
That's what attorneys argue back and forth.
So then the last page has an appeals process, which is very simple and brief and very direct. So just in case they should.
Now, why is there an appeals process at all? I'm not trying to raise a stink. I'm just curious, because this is really money that's given to them.
Well, I would say if I were to make a request and they said, for these reasons, we decided not to grant it, and I look at it and go, you misunderstood. I'd like to appeal it. Let me explain why we did what we did. And you go, oh, we get it now.
You mean to clear up a misunderstanding?
Clear up a misunderstanding.
It doesn't come to you guys at all. It's all with the city manager and the city council. It's not your...
You don't think you're opening yourselves up in a litigious way?
You're giving money away and you have a process now. It's a one-step appeal.
It's fair to appeal it? Okay.
It has a very finite thing to it.
All right.
It's the decision's made and there's no entitlement to another, to an appeal beyond that. The decision's final.
Well, as long as it's the council's problem and not ours, then it's fine.
I have a question that we need to go to, I think.
Now, is it regards this document?
Well, it's actually comprehensively. It's in both documents.
Okay.
They have a question in our document regarding whether it's supposed to be a government agency or 501c. We were limiting things to those type of organizations, and they asked that question, whether we really intend that, and their definition of applicant is much broader. So the issue is, that was a mandate that was given by the City Council originally. So if you're going to, you have your word applicant is broader than what we were originally intending, so the question is, what do you want to have in there?
Oh, the definition of applicant you're going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, so on the first, it's a definition of applicant, but we also, in our original documentation before they got to it, were talking about only a government agency or a nonprofit, and their comment is that really what we mean? Because people are
on
going to inquire.
On page three of the grant application, it says some people may think this means that only government agencies and nonprofits qualify for funding. You may get some questions about this.
Yeah, but that's what we were intending.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's where it is.
That's where it is.
Council intended? What is it? Council intended?
We haven't really had a discussion about that specifically.
So I think so it was in the original grant documents we received, because I know I started, yeah. I put that in there because I saw it somewhere in the original paperwork and resolutions from the council.
Well, I think the issue came up is that if you're granting monies, I guess as public monies to a private enterprise was the dilemma.
Well,
you covered that, I think, during one of our meetings.
Well, yeah, so under, so this definition of applicant is a whole different
everybody
thing.
Everybody and everything.
It's everybody and everybody and individuals, yeah. And the original idea was something
right
very
it's
conflict.
In conflict. And yeah. I'm really glad you pointed that out, because that's like a glaring thing on page one.
The
right
recommendation
under
from the very beginning has always been, and I think it's been pretty much on the table, that it would be a nonprofit or
okay.
a government organization.
Right.
So I think, yes, we should just tell her, yes, that's what we intend.
And strike number one.
Please change the definition of
applicant
to
reflect
that.
Yes, definitely.
I mean,
definitely. Because okay. it's a real problem to benefit a private individual.
I would have trouble
with an
individual or
yeah.
any new business venture coming yeah. in. You want somebody yeah. with some credibility, and while you might have a small project that's worthwhile, for instance, the electronic stations for plug-ins for cars, you don't necessarily want a single individual or business enterprise to be the one that's getting the funding for that.
Yeah,
we'll
and
just ask her to fix the definition to match the qualifications in the application.
Right, and so what we'll, the questions we'll get from applicants is, you know, as far as who's doing the work, well, you know, you have a nonprofit that contracts with contractors
yeah.
that do
they
the work.
They would have
right.
to
those
hire.
Are, those are all for profit.
That's a, yeah.
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 You well, you can't get that shield.
You there. Have, a, it's, I suppose it's a qualitative representation of responsibility of how you want to spend this money. Do you really just want to have any individual coming in or any association coming in, or do you want to have something you have more
yeah.
respect for
oh,
qualitatively?
Yeah. Yeah, we would have a stack that
yeah.
yeah.
The idea is
yeah.
it's more community-based. It's either another government agency.
Yeah.
It's not individual, but it's
benevolent
yeah.
community organization.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
So
and so those definitions using
these
nonprofit
are, these are, you're
is
okay good. Here, just the conflict over here. Is what
it's right
well,
here on page
well,
one.
She,
you know.
Yeah, what it happens is she's questioning the definition
yeah, well,
over
it's,
here.
She,
and it's,
she just asked the question and say, yes, that's what you intend. So
yeah.
the other one has
okay.
to be changed. That's
right. Okay. Okay. Well, then we did find that's the main flag, then, is that striking and replacing definition one.
In the packet that has the comment, some people may think this means there's a page and a half cover letter or sheet, whatever you want to call it. And it seems to me, looking over it, that it does not define the applicant in that cover sheet, and that we should be defining the applicant in that cover sheet.
So are we switching to these two documents now?
So have we gotten through our agenda, and should we talk about we should be talking about those two?
The next two.
Both, right? So can we move on? I just want to make sure we have closure. Applicant is going to be changed. Closure?
Well, not quite closure.
Oh, okay.
Is that one? I want to clarify, or at least the match.
Yeah.
No, the commitment part.
The word match and how it's used and how it's defined.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to put the commitment back in the
and commitment.
Distribution of funds.
Seven, B and C.
Yeah.
And then the applicant's definition, but otherwise it looks like things are pretty good, except for changing the dates again, once again.
Okay.
These copies that Nicole gave you, one is the mark is a completed piece without markups, and the other one has the markups, but they're identical to each other. It's the actual package.
One of them is called
will receive. They say DAT on the front.
They say DAT on the front, and the one, and they say City of Newport. On the top, very top line, is that correct?
Right, it's the Tourism Facilities Grant Instructions.
Okay.
This is the actual package that would be handed out to them.
Well, there was one given earlier, so we actually have three.
So there's the ones that say City of Newport and not the one without that.
This is the material that will actually go into the hands of the people that are applying.
These are all old, and these are real.
Yeah.
And what is it that we have to finalize? Was there any things that we had to go over that have to do with the strike marks and the underline marks?
You can see where she made changes.
We can see it by, when we have them side by side. It's the same document then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So should we do, does it work to do it page by page with people that were with the attorney clarifying, like Jim, clarifying what the attorney did and Mark?
Yeah,
does that work?
Yeah, that's fine. And
okay.
I think it's pretty,
okay.
If it's, she made any great
if she did things that are legalese that had to be done that way, I don't really have to question it, obviously. Because Margaret could. But
I think this is more editing than legalese. Tell you
is it editing?
Think,
good.
Yeah,
good.
I haven't seen anything that hits me in the face as being legalese.
Yeah.
So this is more like clarification, making sure that it's the wording is right and that kind of thing?
I think that the only things that she really wanted the committee to address was the 501c stuff, which
okay.
we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the last page, she had some questions about some of the words like tourism hubs and local livability components. I think the rest is just editing.
Okay.
From what I've looked at.
So when there's a highlight, that means that these are things that were put in or changed? Like if they're shaded, highlighted?
No, I just think that's the way that they were.
You have to look back and forth between the two.
So you see, like for example, she changed some of the wording in the
preamble.
But please note, number two says the Newport City Council has established policies governing this, but we hadn't really.
Where's this?
So that's what this whole document is.
Yeah, that's the policy that
she
got developed.
Refers to in
okay.
number two
oh,
under
oh,
the please note.
Okay, I see it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then she had to make changes in reference to that as we go down through
okay.
the rest of the document.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the nice thing about developing a policy that's not a one-time but a generic is you can take out from the application itself the things that are more appropriately part of the policy. And it sounds like that kind of happened.
She fixed the indemnification words and what would be required.
Okay.
Which was a question we had before.
Okay.
She added the prevailing wage stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's legalese. Okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I want to clarify for the benefit of the rest of the committee. When you have the prevailing wage type of requirement, what you're doing is kind of, I'll just put it in a real stark term. This keeps the applicant organization or government from getting a work crew from Alabama that works for the absolute minimum wage and saving money that way. I mean, that's the most stark way of putting it.
But let me clarify. This doesn't say you have to pay prevailing
right.
wage. It says, applicant, be aware you may have to pay prevailing wage
okay.
and
okay.
be aware of that.
Okay.
For instance, the Fairgrounds project, if that came
yeah.
to fruition,
yeah.
since it's on government property, it's a government project, that project would have to pay prevailing
yeah.
wage.
Yes, a nonprofit
yeah.
that owns its own building might have more leeway.
Area or
yeah.
yeah. If there's no public money support, then they might be able
this
to
just,
get around.
Okay.
This is just
yeah.
a disclaimer
okay.
here. That's
okay.
all it
yeah.
is. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's go on.
But let's move on because, I mean, it is the purpose of it is good.
And her description, you know, at the bottom of the first page and going on to the second page, the Tourism Facilities Task Force will review and rate all applications. That's directly from this, from
okay.
this document we just reviewed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So additional things were added there for that
right.
purpose. Okay?
Then you're going to be able to shorten. Maybe you can't. It's too small already. We're trying to get all this in one page. But
it'll go
yeah.
because this is small.
Okay.
You know, there's all this extra space without margins.
Oh, yeah, you don't need this
yeah.
gray thing on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Great. Now we have a lot of, you know, shaded parts that just simply have to do with the dates and deadlines, and those are things that we are going to fix. And straighten up according to the accurate dates and deadlines. So don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I have it.
Good. Okay.
Well,
and here is comment. Oh, yeah, comment. We've got the clarification that will handle that comment.
Mm-hmm. Which comment?
The comment, some people may think this means that only government
agencies. Right, okay, that one we dealt with.
Now, one thing she did, which you guys had, which we put in there, was she, I don't know why she did this.
No, I'm trying to see what her points are, and that takes the comment list.
She crossed out the point values.
Now, where's this?
Yes. When you get to the project description.
Project description.
You guys had assigned, you know, we had put in the parentheses, the point values.
Uh-huh.
For each section?
Yeah.
She crossed those out, left them out for the final.
Now, do you guys remember why?
I don't know why.
I think there's going to be a scoring sheet with this.
Which is that attachment
A
thing?
And actually, I think we could leave them on.
It wouldn't hurt to leave them on.
It wouldn't hurt.
As long as you understand what they represent.
Well, they'll figure that out.
We can ask her exactly why she did that.
If there's any reference to the scoring sheet anywhere earlier in the discussion.
And it's probably because we hadn't explained our definition and scoring until sheet itself, and she said thought it should be best done there.
So anyway, that's the only thing, the only other big change is
But I kind of like the idea of knowing, well, this is 25% of my score, this is 10%. I mean, I kind of like the idea of knowing that as you go along.
I think did she add this question, will the project encourage people to spend the money and report on the first page?
Where?
On the first page of the grant application, it says, will the project encourage people to spend the money and report?
As a qualification?
Yeah.
No, we had that already.
Well, because it's underlined here on the other one, so I don't know if she took it out and then added it back or something.
I'm missing it. Oh, okay.
It looks like it was added, but Mark saying it was probably in there already, so she might have.
Because it originally said, will the project encourage people to travel more than 50 miles? She added, will the project encourage people to travel to Newport from more than 50 miles away? And then I think she added, will the project encourage people to spend the night?
And I think she did do that, and I think she did that because it appears in this policy document.
Oh. It comes from the statute.
Oh, okay.
It comes from the statute, okay.
I mean, you know they're all going to say yes.
They're
not going to say no.
Well, if we have issues about whether it is yes, we start talking to them.
Yeah, it could be that they're lying.
It's from this policy.
Oh, optimistic.
It's from the policy document because 5B says includes an overnight stay. So I think she just says you just need to ask that question.
I think she did the right thing. Are people comfortable with it?
Sure.
Yeah, let's leave it. It's parallelism, making it all coherent with each other.
Would that be a disqualification?
Encourage.
The encourage is okay. Yeah.
Gives them all of that squishy room.
Yeah.
So I have a question. It says that applicants will be invited to make oral presentations. Is that our convenience or theirs? That is, can we set up a day where we kind of gun through them all? Or can they say, gosh, I can't make that day, but I can make another one? Do we hold their feet to the fire that this is the day and you're going to have somebody there?
Well, I think that, I think it's fine to hold their feet to the fire, but I think if we probably should just let them know when they're at the beginning of the application process what that day will be.
Okay, that's good.
Mm. Well,
the advantage
or as much lead time as possible.
You guys have decided to meet on Thursday, the 2nd of February,
mid-February, we could tell them.
We probably should just pick a day and say presentations will be made on blah, 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 so that they know to plan for
that. Yes, that's good.
Get it on their calendar and plan for it so you don't have any ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Are
okay.
you sure you'll be ready by then, though, if you set that date?
We'll pick a date so that we are ready, right?
You just have to be ready if you pick a date for it.
Yeah.
I think
it goes both ways.
Maybe it'll help us.
Well, it depends on how many applicants you're going to hear in one day.
Well, set it up in the evening.
Okay.
Your evening. You have to have presentations in the evening so you allow for.
Okay.
So that is something we're adding to the application, kind of like right now?
I would say let's. No. I mean, we can still hold them to the fire. We're going to send them a letter, say this is the date you're going to need
to
be. Yeah, I think we do that after the fact.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
We also, she took all our time restrictions out of here, and how much time they're going to be able to make the presentation, and what it happens is we decide that later. If we
have
10 good projects we really want to hear about, or 5 or 30, we can.
Give them
allocate
a little more
the
time.
Money, that time and resources.
I think if they want the money, they'll make it work.
That's what I thought.
The
I
idea
just don't
is
want it so that we are going to have 7 different days of it.
I don't think you would get that, except you may have some professional people that can't make it on a certain day. But,
you might need to have a little bit of flexibility, have 1 or 2 days. A
couple of days, and then we can work.
Yeah, 2 days. You would come to us one or the other.
Right, right.
If it's thank you, John.
What we do is we schedule it, and if there's a problem, we'll see what we can do to switch
right,
it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. So we're not really, that doesn't affect the document that we're dealing with right now, and we're still on the additions and the subtractions. So are there any more that are jumping out at people's attention? Stan.
I want to make my point again, that when we have a definition of applicant, that definition should be on the cover sheet. If indeed
qualified applicant.
This is for the front sheet here.
Yes. The lawyer is asking, some people may think this means only good, if it does mean only government agencies and nonprofits, that should be stated in the cover on the cover sheet.
We are going to correct that in the policy, so the applicant will be clearly that it's only a nonprofit or a government agency.
Yeah, this policy will be attached to the instructions.
Yeah. But I think the cover sheet should state that.
It could. So one sentence.
It says general qualifications. It's going to answer the question right in front. But I think I see what you're saying.
And then on the required attachment, it says that you need the letter of 501C if applicable.
If anybody and everybody's going to be eligible, it should state that on the cover sheet. If it's just nonprofits and government agencies, it should state that on the cover sheet. I don't see that on the cover sheet.
So in the first paragraph on the very first page, it says applications will be considered based on project merits. We could say applications would be considered from nonprofits and government agencies based on their merits. Is there something
put in there? Could be listed under please note number 5.
Yeah, I would say 5. Just put it there. Please note.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
But please
shouldn't they have read the? Shouldn't they have read this before?
No.
No.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
If you repeat it more, it doesn't hurt anything.
Doesn't hurt. No, I don't got a sentence.
So there's a good addition that we will make it number 5, and that will be the definition of a qualified.
Applicants are defined as.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Dan. So we're just going through the document as a whole. If there's anything on any page.
The question she had was way at the back, and she said, we had this discussion ourselves. She goes, will the applicants know what this means?
Yes.
Tourism hubs.
Shall we go to that?
Local livability components means.
Well, final page. Final page.
You're going to, in that case, isn't that kind of a narrative question?
And I just want to recap what I remember from our discussion was that by letting it be undefined and letting it be just as stated, we might get some discussion that we did not anticipate, and that it was a good thing.
You wouldn't make yourself.
You don't need to define the whole thing.
I think they have the opportunity to persuade us that it's a tourism hub.
So the answer to the attorney would just be we left them that way on purpose.
On purpose, yeah. I mean, if the rest of you feel that was the way we discussed it, I mean, I missed a meeting and everybody missed one meeting, so.
No.
But that's the way I remember it.
Caroline, I've been.
You've been everyone. You guys should have been the chair.
So is Margaret. I think Anne has been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both.
Thank you.
And I think at one meeting, Mark said that we would have a place on the internet for FAQs and frequently asked questions. Then a question need only be asked once for it to qualify for that. If people want a definition here, we would list some more information, definition-wise, as a frequently asked question.
What you could put is the questions that might come to us, that might come to the committee during that two-week period right at the very beginning. Could just be put on the web, the question and answer.
And
I guess we got
a lot. Probably
is that possible, Jim?
And you know, if I heard the question, what is a tourism hub? I think my answer in an FAQ might be, I just had such a great idea and I lost it. It's here's an example of a tourism hub.
The Bayfront?
Yeah, Bayfront.
Yeah.
Science Center.
Yeah, Aquarium, Hatfield, Marine Science Center.
Here's some examples of what we mean by it. And really, that doesn't confine them either. It just gives them a little bit more.
So if common questions come in like that and Peggy doesn't feel comfortable fielding them, or Nicole, then they could refer to Caroline. If Caroline doesn't feel comfortable fielding the question, then it can come to the committee. And at any point in there, if a question is asked and it can be answered, it'd be a good idea to put that on the web. Just say, here's the question that was asked, and here's the answer, so that everybody who's applying can refer to it, can go and see what questions are being asked and how they're being answered. Mm-hmm. Then you don't have to answer it twice or three times or four times. Do we have that available?
Actually a great idea. And what we normally do for bids is if somebody asks a question, we let everybody know what the question was, and here's the answer.
Yeah, so that public works kind of thing.
Will people register for this?
The interest of fairness.
Let everybody know the answer to all the information.
So here's an anticipated question. What is a tourism hub? And how do you guys feel about this? We don't have a hard and fast definition for a tourism hub. However, here are some examples.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have that many people not know.
Just in case.
Yeah.
To me, the concept of tourist hub can be worked two different ways. Either you can try to encourage improvement in an already existing tourist hub, or you try to encourage a creation of a new tourist hub.
Yes. So when they're answering the question, they could say, well, we aren't going to relate to a current hub, but we're going to create a whole new hub by locating.
Or you're trying to spread out the situation, because one of the problems
relief
with tourists,
traffic.
You get too many tourists in one area. It's handy for the tourist things to be relatively close to each other, but you get overload in traffic. So how do you balance those two things? You have one hub that's the Bayfront, but you have the aquarium and et cetera, which is across the bay. That changes location.
So the other thing you could do right now in order to alleviate misinterpretation of that would be just to have in parentheses, i.e., the examples you just gave us.
Well, you know, it's a narrative, so there's no wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer.
I almost feel like when we get a bunch of questions, a lot of the answer is just do your best.
That's right.
So I don't want to bend over
no
backwards.
Wrong answer here,
there's no wrong answer.
So we're done?
Well, we're leaving these as is, and so we only have some technical changes that I've seen so far. Are people feeling like we have gotten our product together? Stan?
I got an email from Mark that he sent out back on the 10th of October, I believe. And he mentioned a couple of items that he found in another application. And they were, one, do you want a list of the names of the boards of directors and professional affiliations from each organization that applies? Two, you want to allow for up to 3 6.5 by 11 drawings of any facility book, and so on. So I said blah, blah.
Yeah.
What was the second one again?
Okay.
Allowing for drawings.
I don't think those would be required attachments, but what do people think about listing those as optional attachments?
Or bring it to your oral presentation?
Does it count against your 10 pages, I guess, but it's like...
Yeah, I think I guess the question is, if somebody has a project that's planned out to the point that has schematics and drawings and actual pictures of what they think it might look like in the end, would you like to see those when you're reviewing their application prior to their presentation, or do you want to let them...
Well, how do people feel about that being a part of the presentation? Because when you get to the point where they are making their oral argument, and you know, they might They might have more handouts, and what are you going to do, say no? I don't know.
If you make it an optional attachment, you're drawing it to their attention, and saying they can include it or they can delete it, either one.
Yeah.
They would be optional attachments.
Okay. Well, that is one way of doing it. Does that conform with the rest of our application in fairness? And I mean, it's optional, so.
Your attachments right now are not part of your 10-page limit.
Right.
And so this would be another attachment.
It would be
optional attachments.
Well, it says required attachments.
Right.
Where's the optional?
That's what we would be adding, the drawings and the board of directors.
Okay. So you need an optional attachment.
Yeah, a section of optional attachments.
So you're saying you can give them permission to attach up to 3 pages of drawings and or a list of... I don't care whether you had the board and board members listed. It's just very, very common for a nonprofit organization to continually put their board members and names and addresses of board members.
Do you want all
in grant applications?
Yes. Now let me put this out to the review committee, because the board who is on the board sometimes adds to the credibility and viability that you might give it mentally. It might
add
to their
points. Well, it's a perception that isn't always reality, because sometimes the board members may be just a name that they've lent and they're not really active involved in the
organization. I think it's focus on the project and then being swayed by a famous name or something personally.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. So it is optional. Now, do we even want it to be optional?
Well, I'm assuming some will probably throw it in anyway.
As part of their 10, they could.
Right,
it'll be on their presentation. It might be on their letterhead.
That's right. You're going to be able to see it. You can ask the question, obviously.
And we can definitely ask it during the interview.
Right.
Do you know who's on your board? If you didn't give it to us, who's your officers? You know.
Right.
Do you want
it's very
to see
fair.
Schematics of building plans or?
So what about the drawings?
Yeah.
Well, I think you need to make that optional, at least.
To include in their written in their written proposal.
Because some people may or may not have them, but yeah, I would say you have an optional.
Okay.
So I think the one grant one that I read said 3 pages up to 3.
Yes. Well, are these going to be hard copies or
up to
electronic?
3 pages. No,
hard copies.
Yeah. Up to
a lot
3
of paper.
Pages of 8.5 by 11. I mean, you want it to stay the same size as this.
Yeah. Right?
Can you scan? Can I see how that was written out on your thing?
He just made it up.
I copied it right off the grant.
And seeing an artist rendering could influence this committee a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could look at the final page and go, "That is gorgeous."
If you have,
I love it.
Right. Well, you certainly can't help, but it'd be hurt.
You're an artist, you know.
If you have
very persuasive.
I don't know. At least 4, I think, Mark. If you want to, you have a site plan, a front plan, maybe a floor plan, and maybe a section or something. But yeah, you can go maybe limited to 4.
4. Yeah. Okay.
Now, should we have it with the application or at the verbal presentation stage?
Optional attachment to the application.
Optional.
Okay.
And then the verbal presentation, hopefully, they're going to give them to you in much larger format.
So. Right. Yeah,
fair enough.
Show it up on the screen.
So you want up to 4?
Well, yes. Let's see if the committee has a consensus.
I'm good with that.
I'm okay with it.
Up to 4.
I mean, especially since it's optional.
Including it with the applications better than if you have a problem if you have an application, then in the orals you get a whole bunch of other information, then try to digest it. What the orals should do is amplify what you've already been submitted so you can evaluate the application.
Good point.
If there's an expectation that what they present at the orals is new information, then that changes everything. Then you're not evaluating the application, you're evaluating this plus new information.
That's a really good point.
And you want to limit it to 8.5 by 11, so that it fits with the other format. Yeah.
So did we reach a consensus on up to 4 pages, and it's optional?
Do we have to have? I think it should be optional, but do we have to put even a limit on it? Just if graphics or charts apply, you know, it's optional.
They have to make the copies.
Yeah.
Right. It might not even
But it's wasting our time to flip through a million pages.
Well, you won't get a million.
Yeah, right.
Really?
It might not even apply to some. I don't know.
I kind of lean towards up to 4, though. just to save our time.
Yeah. You know, I would say a limited number, whether it's four or five, it doesn't make much difference to me.
Say up to five.
I think I'd raise it up. We have five, at least. You know, can't hurt.
I was going to say three, but anyway.
Well, I don't care which direction.
No.
It's a limited number of.
Yeah. It's limited so that it's more comparable with each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that it should be contained a bit.
I think so.
And I don't care if it's three, four, five, because it shouldn't be 200.
Yeah, because open ended just opens up this.
People always do something, right?
Yeah.
There's always someone who would, okay, and realize you just don't know who that person is until they do it.
So we are saying it's optional and it's up to five. Is that the consensus?
Sounds good.
Okay, optional and up to five for Nicole's benefit.
You guys have been troopers on this.
Well, we have. We're trying to really, I think we're really trying to do a quality job. And, you know, I hope that the community feels the same way when they see the applications. It's all.
Well, I think Mark's on the same page here. Thinking also that their communities will hopefully see the benefit of this. And we're already seeing where other folks have interest, and it's hopefully generate more interest to generate good projects, which would maybe help us to convince maybe monies that have not been spent to be thrown into this fund for continuing years.
There's cases, the
people that are doing the advertising now and word advertising are doing it in a cost-effective manner and saving monies, so this could go towards something that they can see is beneficial.
Great. We're at 11:30, and I want to make the, being sensitive to time as to what more work do we have to do today, if any.
I do have a question on how this information will inform the public that this is going to happen and all the details, because I find so much, there's one quick little article in the News Times one day, and if you miss it, you don't even know what's going on.
Do you have some suggestions how we can spread the word out equitably?
Well, I think, you know, definitely lots of advance notice, repeat articles, or whatever the medium happens to be, you know, newspaper, internet, or whatever. But I just think, you know, knowing what's happening is half of it right there. If you get on the inside of the track there to know what's going on and all the details and how to apply and what's at stake and just general information.
And
Newspaper and internet being the major, and the newspaper refers you to the appropriate websites and that kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe so. So there's something that they can do at their convenience. But just even still, a general announcement needs to happen several times. So if you miss it the one time, then you're out of the loop completely of even knowing about it.
Yeah, and that'll stem from our council meeting.
Put something scandalous in it.
That'll get attention.
And I think that
council meetings that are televised, what a good idea.
It'll stem from the council meeting because we'll be approving it, announcing it.
And that's televised.
And then we'll ask staff to do a press release about it.
Plus, and that always is covered in the paper, page
plus
one.
Plus, we already have requests kind of on the table from several organizations. door holding letters. So we'll need to make sure that we notify those groups that have already sent us funding intentions or grant writing intentions. We'll need to send that information to them almost immediately. So we'll take care of that.
We have a bunch that we want to notify as interested nonprofits. I mean, there's only so many nonprofits in Newport. They can be notified. I think it's very fair. Because there's only so many that are qualified applicants.
We don't have a list of them, though.
There's a list.
Well, we have the ones that have already asked
And then just say that they don't have to be in Newport. It has to be nonprofit.
And notify the chamber.
Chamber announcements.
Well,
rotary announcements.
When we do a press release, which
it
I'm assuming
everywhere.
Would be happening, is it goes
to
everywhere.
Chamber. Excellent.
What would happen is we would issue a press release, we would post it on the city's website, the newspaper would get a hold of it.
Okay.
I mean, that's all we can really do is issue the press release. If we want to contact the people who have made contact, I think all these other things are great, but they kind of happen from what stems from the press release.
Can you ask for a press release to be done more than one or two times? I mean, have it be over several issues? I don't know, I just find that just knowing what's happening is, like I said, half the battle.
So first is announcing the program, second is reminding them of the date or something.
Yeah, but just a reminder to have it out there, this is happening, and the deadlines, and then all the info.
Are the press releases sent to radio stations?
They're sent to radio outlets.
Okay.
And
as a part of the press release, we can request that it include, please let any... please let anyone know about this that you think would be interesting. You know, just a real open arm thing to spread the word, let people know. You know, a lot of people are members of organizations, and they would think, okay, I'm going to tell my organization. You know?
I don't think that there'll be any problem getting the word out, because I think it'll be a fairly good article. Mm-hmm. Should be front page as far as I'm concerned in the News Times.
It should be, and I think it will be.
This is an unprecedented thing that's happening.
Yeah.
So,
and it's just put the words $1 million in there.
Yeah,
that'll crank it right up.
Oh, oh man,
doesn't
it's like Lotto.
It doesn't make front page unless it's
Jim's over embezzles $1 million.
Yeah, I would say.
Not really.
We'll forward this information back to Lauren, who's the attorney who's working with us at LGLG, and then when Lauren's already under the gun to get it done in time for the council packet, so she has to get it to Nicole by next week.
Well, we did not give her a lot of edits. Didn't.
And so
what I'm saying to you is that,
you know, online on the website, the council packet will be available on Friday before the meeting on Monday. So all of you on the committee, she doesn't need to send you this information electronically. You can just look at the packet and you'll see the final version. And if there's any huge things that flag up between now and then, you know, we can still make amendments and change wording or whatever at the council.
So we will, if there is something that comes up flagged that we simply overlooked or the lawyer overlooked, we'll do email circulation. We won't meet again, but we will talk by email and hopefully resolve that
item. And just forward that to me or to Jeff, and then we'll make sure that discussion occurs.
Oh.
We're not supposed to talk through email.
What about this?
You can do it this way. You send it to me or Nicole directly. Don't do to everybody. If you have a comment, just send that comment directly to Nicole. And
then we'll make sure that gets considered when the council's having their discussion about this before we adopt it.
Because
We frequently change one or two.
Yeah, and realistically, we're not going to have a discussion. We're just going to have something fixed. Realistically, we won't. Make a big
if you do have a big, you know, if a big flag goes, wow, we didn't even think about this or talk about this, but I just...
We just have to let the council deal with it.
Or to Nicole or Jim, and we'll make sure that discussion occurs during the council session.
Well...
Yeah, no, I think grammar, unless it's a wrong word...
Yeah, grammar,
word,
I mean,
get,
really,
you know,
I'm not...
Right.
You know. Yeah. So I'm not going to be picking it apart.
Yeah, we have somebody.
Luckily, David's not on this committee, so he can do it with you guys.
He's going to join you, though.
Yes.
Jim and I.
No, I didn't know.
Jeff and I are leaving this committee once the council adopts the process, because we both have you know
interests.
Okay.
Things in the works in other parts of the community.
And so David will be a liaison.
David will
be
the liaison with you when you're meeting and reviewing grants and discussing them and reviewing them and making the recommendation.
Good, because he is picky and legal.
So he'll ask all those questions. And he doesn't have any particular affiliation with any of the organizations that we anticipate are going to appear.
Okay.
So that's why he's going to be your liaison at that point.
That sounds great. And the funny thing is, I did not anticipate that I would have any conflict whatsoever, and then I just happened to be on the board of YBEEF, which just happened to express an opinion, so I did have to abstain. I didn't anticipate it, but I did it.
Yeah.
One thing you just brought up now, are we going to be revealing all these as a group or individually?
Both.
First individually and then as a group.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, because Nicole, you were taking notes, and if it would be okay to kind of, you do minutes anyway, and
I mean,
kind of the recap the timeline in a page for us, that would help.
How about I just send out an email with the timeline dates, the meeting dates that you guys establish, and when you want to have it to council, so that way you guys have the timeline.
Thank you. And what we'll do is once Nicole distributes this timeline that we just established, then we will, you know, fill in the process, which is what do we expect to happen at this time and what happens in the time intervening, and then what do we accomplish this time.
And anticipating that you meet on February 2nd,
Thursday,
February 2nd, to have your first discussion together about the applications that you have in hand.
So that's without the rating scores or just a general discussion?
You can do your own rating. I think that you're reading, if you want to individually rate them, right, and score them.
I can give the score sheet in the packet of with the stuff.
Well, because, you know, the score sheet, you do the best you can. You know, there's fact-finding. And so you have questions that each other helps us answer. And then you give a better score once you've heard it. See, it's not like we have to, oh, my God, my score is this. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it ultimately is, because it's a subjective evaluation, you know, as far as how this whole thing about the big picture, seeing how it all looks, or who's qualifying, or whatever, you know, just to...
I think what I would be cautious about is you don't want to sit here and go, you know, what's your score? And then you start, you know, averaging your scores up, you know, come up with your own evaluations and what you think is important. Because you can get, as a jury, as you know, you could be swayed, well, I'm going to...
Well, if you need more information, then you have to do fact finding.
In the end, as a committee, you're going to make a recommendation based on consensus or a vote. I mean, if you have to vote, you can vote.
At the end, you will.
The best solution would be that as a group of seven people, you agree what the recommendation is going to be. Completely, totally agreed together as a consensus without actually really voting what your recommendation to the council is going to be.
And you're talking about each individual project being okay to present, or just as a whole group together, the whole thing, as far as all of them, this is our total. I mean,
well, our process includes hearing the presentations and then what happens after that.
We're going to be evaluating a ton of information, of which, you know, who knows, we have to do some fact-finding, like you were saying, about what's even valid. But then just to put it in some, like I keep saying, bigger picture, where there's a certain amount of applicants, there's a certain amount of money, and plugging in how it's going to fit into a bigger picture, like a puzzle, you know, and then plug in the numbers to go, this is, you know, definitely, you know, 1, 2, 3, definitely.
You'll have to do that. There's no requirement to divvy this out.
Right. You could spend less.
But no, you can put it all in one basket if you want. If that's your recommendation, don't feel that you have to be fair to everybody. You know, I mean,
consider people, but you don't necessarily want to be fair in saying you get a little money, you get a little money, and then nothing works well.
You
know?
That's a good consideration then, how you approach it in that way.
Right. Well, which you will do after you hear your presentations. I mean, you may be filling in your rating sheet and have a rating sheet on each project as you review them. And that will be a fluid document until you get down to the end to your recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fluid, especially because if it wasn't, why have presentations? I think the presentation should help us make a better decision.
Do we have a number allotted to the presentation? I don't know if we have that listed on our...
A number, like, of time?
No, as far as how much
score
that weighs.
No, that should contribute to all those points in there. Yeah. So they have scoring, so you'll use that to inform you.
And any questions that you have about things, and then in the end you'll come up with your final rating, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a scenario might be, I gave them 10 points for this, but after I heard them speak, and they are so much farther along than I thought, I'm going to give them 15. So I've just changed my score and given them a higher score. Or it could go the other way. They're not as far along as I thought. They don't seem to have it together.
They're together on paper, but not in person.
Yeah, but you have to understand and realize that you need to hang on to all the pieces that you have and any notes that you make and your scoring sheets. They're all public record.
Oh, okay.
So you need to hang on to everything.
So what I'll do is I'll put all of the applications and a scoring sheet in a manila envelope for you, and they'll be in the office to pick up on Tuesday.
Okay.
You need to keep all of your documents in there because that manila envelope will have your name on it.
Okay.
And then at the end, I'll need that back because we have to store, the city has to store and retain them.
Well, do you recommend a 3-ring binder and hole punching?
Is that all right if we put it in the 3-ring binder?
Yeah.
So your individual score sheets we'll have to get turned in. Now you can keep them in pencil and you can change them and alter them. But at the end, when you're all done, you made your recommendation to the council. Whatever your whatever documents and notes you have to go in a, have to go up a file.
Well, that's good to know, because
yes,
that might make people think about taking fewer notes.
Doesn't matter.
I mean,
well, as long as it's in pencil, I mean,
or more notes.
Fluid, yeah. Then you would have to be, yeah, able to change your score.
You have to.
Right.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Yes.
Or you can just have all of the numbers there and have the final number that you have. Yeah.
Now, I think we're getting into some discussion that we can table, so why don't we adjourn the meeting? If you want to keep discussing,